Apologies to the podcast people. You've only missed one headline. It was the NBA opening day. The Warriors traveling to Brooklyn and then to play the Bucks on Christmas Day. What'd you just ask, Draven? Sorry.
Ask about the Warriors. What do you expect from this Warriors team?
7 or 8 seed.
They'll still be interesting, though. They'll still be fun to watch. Steph Curry.
If everything goes properly, they'll be like a 7 or 8 seed. I don't know. Like maybe a 6 seed. I just don't feel like those are the type of teams you put on Christmas Day in the opening tip. Supposed to be the elite. Like, unless they just had this booked before the Warriors went down and couldn't really change it because logistically they'd already started working on it. Because if Klay played, they would be a top 3 seed.
Yep.
But Klay's gone. That's a big loss.
It is. What do you think about KD going up against his former team? Is there any intrigue there, any excitement seeing KD go up against the Warriors?
It sucks for him that it's game number one because I'm worried that game number one is going to be his worst game of the year.
You think he's going to – I don't know. I feel like he's going to be kind of that man on a mission a little bit to try to – just to try to go out and ball out first game. Everybody's kind of doubting him a little bit.
That's fine, but I just think that coming off of a bad injury, it's going to be – like he's going to get better as the year goes on, I would say.
Yeah. And what about the night capper there, Clippers-Lakers?
I mean, of course, Clippers-Lakers.
you can't do it any better than that, though.
The thing is, like now, the roles have kind of reversed from last year. It doesn't matter what happens in that game anymore because we're not going to trust the Clippers until the playoffs.
Yeah, that is true.
Like everyone, like heading this time last year, pretty much all the way throughout the season, everyone gave the Clippers the benefit of the doubt and questioned what the Lakers would do. The Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis took care of business, blew through the playoffs. We're the one seed in the West. The Clippers, on the other hand, imploded. So if the Clippers beat the Lakers on opening night, no one's going to really care because they beat them on opening night last year. Meanwhile, if the Lakers beat them on opening night, that's when you start getting into some trouble for the Clippers, I think.
Man, the Lakers just look so stacked, don't they?
On paper, they do. On paper, they do. It's the opposite of last year. You didn't trust them last year. You thought their depth wasn't good enough. Everyone, which I thought was pretty stupid, just kept talking about how scared they are that they're going to get hurt. And like Anthony Davis is such an injury concern and blah, blah, blah. LeBron's old. Without stopping and realizing, wait, they have 2 top 5 players. This is going to be fine. And guess what? It was completely fine. And it was the other team that couldn't be healthy enough to play and practice together. Yeah, the Lakers look stacked right now.
Yeah, they do. Especially, I mean, championship team last year, they've almost got better in so many different areas. It's pretty crazy, but the West, I feel like, got a little bit better, too.
I want to see what Montrezl Harrell does in game number one, now that he's with the Lakers going up against the Clippers, who didn't want to pay him. Clippers didn't want to pay him. They didn't even really make him an offer.
And he seems like the guy that...
We'll take that personally.
Yeah, he's going to use that for motivation, no doubt about it. Speaking of the Lakers, Anthony Davis finally got signed. It's official. 5-year deal.
5-year deal with an opt-out after the 4th year, right?
Yep, that is correct. $190 million. So what do we make of this?
Means that the Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to be together for a while. Now, I will say that like these contracts don't really matter these days because if somebody wants to be traded, they can force their way out. But
very
Anthony
easily.
Davis gave them 4 years, but where he can't like really hold them hostage. But again, like we said, if they want to say they want to get traded, they can get traded.
Mm.
But the Lakers, I mean, you have that set up. I was a little worried that Anthony Davis would look and say, you know what, I want to go to the Knicks because all my boys are there from Kentucky. And as a Hawks fan, that bothered me. Keep him on the West Coast. It's fine with me.
LeBron. But LeBron's his boy at the end of the day, huh?
Lakers are set up to compete for the next 4 championships.
What's the max championships they can win here in the next 4 years? You think that there's no way they go 3 or 4 in a row here, do they?
I wouldn't think so just because of how old LeBron is, but like he didn't slow down at all last year.
He did not.
He could have easily been league MVP, and when it came down to it, he was still the best player in the league.
And this team is just stacked, I'm telling you. This team is so much better than last year. It's crazy. It's going to be fun to watch.
And I would imagine Anthony Davis continues to get a little bit better too.
Yeah.
As LeBron starts slipping a little bit, Anthony Davis will probably get better, and they will kind of overcome each other. But who's better than them right now? They're the favorite.
Yeah.
Who's better? Like, who could beat them? I know somebody can, but like, who can it be?
I mean, the Nets, if KD's back, maybe. But, I mean, who in the West? I don't even know who. I mean, you really think the Clippers going to beat them? I mean, Clippers couldn't even get a chance to play them in the playoffs.
The Lakers are loaded this year. Their bench upgrades.
And like I said, now they have the confidence, too.
Yeah.
Not only you got to beat them, you got to beat them four times in 2 weeks. I mean, how difficult is that? But anyways, speaking of the Clippers, though, did you guys see Paul George came out and talked about last year? And, of course, it wasn't, I didn't play well. Oh, I didn't, you know, perform up to what I was supposed to perform at. Blamed it coaching. He blamed it. He said, during the whole process, we never worked on adjustments. We never worked on what to do differently. He was talking on the All the Smoke podcast there with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. So, Doc Rivers, the scapegoat once again, which I guess, you know, he was the one that got fired, so why not blame him? But do you think Paul George should maybe take a little bit of accountability here? Let's not forget he was not good at all.
Well, it was the coach's fault for not letting him get in the post, apparently.
Working on adjustments. Like, come on. By the way, NBA is it's a lot about players making these adjustments, right? I feel like, I mean, you got the coach telling you what to do, but still,
what
players
Paul George
know.
Said makes sense to me. Like, I don't know, like, if it's true or not, but what he said was basically, like, he was trying to use me as J.J. Redick, which he's like, he's trying to use me as J.J. Redick or Ray Allen. Because, I mean, like, they did use Paul George, like, running around a bunch of screens, and, you know, he shot 11, 12 three-pointers a game sometimes, so would he have been better off trying to get to the basket more and, like, just getting in the post and getting the ball and, like, being able to create from there? Yeah, maybe. But I would say that kind of just also plays into, like, when you don't have a point guard that can get you set up and get you where you want to go, and Doc's trying to make things convenient for Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was Doc's fault. Maybe Ty Lue will make them better. I don't know.
There's no way they keep Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley, right?
I wouldn't think so. Because I mean, like, the season's only 3 weeks away now, so we're 19 days away from the season.
No choice at this point.
You don't really want to make a big trade that shakes up your roster early if you're a contender. Like, maybe around the trade deadline you reshape it, but either you do it in the next day or so, which is why you saw the big mega deal yesterday that we'll talk about, you know, after the break. But you go ahead and do it now and try to give them some time to mesh at all, you know, some type of chance to mesh. But the season's 19 days away. We did get a big time blockbuster-ish name wise trade, at least.
Yeah.
We'll dive into that next. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Big time trade yesterday, at least name wise. As Russell Westbrook and John Wall, two of the probably four worst contracts in the league, trade places. John Wall headed to the strip clubs of Houston, where him and James Harden will be an all-NBA duo.
All pro, first team.
Russell Westbrook heads to Washington to try to set up Bradley Beal, and a first-round pick goes back to Houston. In exchange, a 2023 lottery-protected first-round pick. What are your thoughts on this? What do you guys think this does? Because the contracts are basically identical. I think they are exactly identical. Westbrook has played the last 2 years, where John Wall hasn't. So I think that the Wizards are getting a better player.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it depends on how well John Wall comes back from this injury. Like, if he's the same player that he was before the injury, I think it just his style of play being completely different from, not completely different, but just I think more efficient than Westbrook's, I think kind of helps Houston. Because I think at times, you know, Westbrook can just be so inefficient that it hurts your team as a whole, no matter how many points and assists and stuff he's getting. I think John Wall helps him be a tad more efficient in that aspect. But
John Wall will be better at the catch-and-shoot threes, although he's not a great three-point shooter either, but he is better than Russell Westbrook, who is a complete negative there. But, man, like, we haven't seen him since, you know, the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
It's going to be basically 2021 by the time he plays, and I mean, you know, he's a 20 points a game scorer, whereas Westbrook's a 27 points a game scorer. At least he was last year in Houston. I think this is a win for the Wizards, who get to move on from John Wall, who apparently is mad that, like, it's Bradley Beal's team.
Yeah.
How is he going to be mad? He's not played in forever. How are you going to be like, oh, yeah, this should be my team? It's like, man, you got to get on the court if you want that, right? I mean, come on.
It's like renting your apartment to somebody and then like, oh, why do you think he lives there?
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing, Walt?
I haven't been there in 2 years, but why do you think?
The real loser in this is James Harden. James Harden is the real loser. He had apparently, what the reports are, is he had a preference to play with John Wall over Russell Westbrook. Where is this getting the Rockets? What is James Harden's process here? And then he wants to stick with the Rockets and there's no plans to trade him? James Harden's just going to be stuck with a same version of a point guard and John Wall? It's the same version, type of player.
I mean, I would just say that it is a personality thing.
Yeah.
If you're James Harden, you're probably tired of being around Russell Westbrook, who is a freak when it comes to working out and yelling at people and stuff like that.
Yeah, very
John
intense.
John Wall seems much more James Harden's speed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this just kind of tells me that Harden really doesn't care about winning a championship. Doesn't a little bit? Because I feel like he would – I mean, we've seen these players demand a lot. I feel like he'd demand more or at least demand a trade or something. He knows – he has to know – sitting here today that this Rockets team has no chance at even winning a first-round series, maybe even making the playoffs. I don't even know.
I think that John Wall will be better in the playoffs than Russell Westbrook is in the playoffs.
I agree.
Assuming that he is 85-90% of what right. We've seen. Like, we haven't seen him in 2 years, so I can't say that for sure. But like, we've seen it year after year. Like, Westbrook goes to the playoffs, and teams just completely dare him to shoot, and he will try to go over and take over a game, and he will lose you a game. Like, I love Russell Westbrook. We love his competitiveness, all those things. Russell Westbrook makes the Wizards a much better regular season team. He will give them a chance to go to the playoffs now because he will try to go all out every night. He will be willing to drive and kick to Bradley Beal for three. Now, I do wonder how that dynamic will work as he will, you know, Bradley Beal probably wants the ball a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But Bradley Beal probably hates John Wall, too. So he's probably ready for that to, like, you know, look like they're trying to at least get an able body out there that wants to win.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're James Harden, you could probably trust John Wall, like I said, to catch and shoot more on the threes and to do things and maybe be a little bit more pleasant to be around. But ultimately, this doesn't, like, get the Wizards past the 7 seed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make the Rockets a better team. Like,
yeah,
the Rockets,
I don't think it makes them challenge the Lakers or anything. Right?
Yeah, like they're not beating the Lakers. They're not beating the Clippers. They're probably not beating the Nuggets.
No.
It's just trading one headache for another. And at least Houston, if you're that, you keep James Harden happy, and you are getting a first-round pick back that maybe you can trade to someone else for a player. John Wall, James Harden, and DeMarcus Cousins is quite the threesome
of
personalities in Houston right now.
Boogie's
back
with
DeMarcus
his boy.
Yeah.
I hope it works out for him. I got nothing against. I liked John Wall a lot in college. I thought he was exciting, and I liked him at least in the first couple years of his NBA career. I don't much like him now. I like Westbrook. I hope he goes somewhere and is happy.
John Wall.
Got a dance named after him. Just flex. But like you said, I don't think it's moving the needle at all.
Yeah.
The first-round pick helps.
Yeah.
Does it, though?
2023.
Yeah. So I mean,
2023 class, I mean, they think that's when, like, high school kids will be able to come out. It's like that could be a valuable pick. And
if it conveys, I think it's lottery-protected first go-around.
It's lottery-protected the first year, which is 1 through 14. So if the Wizards are in the playoffs, they'll get the pick. If not, it goes down to 1 through 12 the year after that. Then 1 through 10, then 1 through 8.
Jeez. And Vin, does it go to 2 seconds?
It goes to just a second round pick, yeah, in 2026 and 2027. So, but, I mean, I'd imagine the Wizards can be a top 22 team by the time 2026 rolls around. I don't know. It's impossible to kind of project. But, like, if you're Bradley Beal, I don't think this is – like, this is basically you're swapping headaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're swapping headaches. Yeah. It's a change of scenery, so it's a new headache. And, you know, usually these headaches can be good for, like, half a year somewhere before people start getting – you know, before you start getting on other people's nerves. But, like, if I'm Bradley Beal and I'm questioning if I want to be in Washington, is Russell Westbrook – more likely to make me want to stay or more likely to make me want to leave and get out of there?
I think Westbrook's going to drive him insane, and he's going to want out by trade deadline.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're James Harden, is John Wall enough to make you want to stay, or are you still going to be like, hey, I want to leave? I don't think John Wall is going to be enough to be like, hey, this is the second star I've been needing. This is the perfect guy. Yeah.
Unless he's better than he was when he was playing before.
Right.
Unless he just comes back better than ever.
Yeah. Maybe his ruptured Achilles made him just go outside and shoot flat-footed jump shots, and maybe now he will be a three-point specialist. Maybe. Otherwise, like, I don't know what he's really exactly going to do in Houston. Like I said, maybe he's easier to get along with. Maybe he's more likely to go to the strip club with James Harden and do some team camaraderie, some team building there.
The strip club, the strippers are the real winners.
And team chemistry is important.
It is. I know Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook didn't seem like the type of guys that went to go to the strip club.
Nope.
Too focused on basketball.
Like, Dwight Howard probably went with Harden, you know, back in the day. But then, like, Dwight Howard and him just couldn't get along on, like, who gets the ball. Because Dwight's like, hey, give it to me. I don't want to just set picks and roll the basket. And James Harden's like, sorry, dude. This is my team. But I'm sure they had fun at the strip club together.
Yeah.
So John Wall is more cut from the same jib there. But if you're the Wizards, this seems like a desperation move.
Yeah, just to do something.
Although, like, maybe Russell Westbrook's enough of a star to still make people want to come buy tickets whenever the pandemic's over. Like, even if Bradley Beal's not there. Like, because if you get Russell Westbrook and then you get a good haul for Bradley Beal, maybe you can at least stay competitive. I don't know what the thought process here is here. But, again, the contracts are the same, so it's just a swapping headaches.
I would love to hear the conversation the GMs had when they made this trade. It was like, good luck, or, like, what did they say? Like,
just, here you go.
We got to do some.
Don't look Russell directly in the eyes and maybe you'll be okay.
Yeah.
John's going to come in looking pretty rough. Don't ask if he's on drugs. Just he's had a rough night. He just doesn't sleep well.
Do not mess with his crew.
That picture John Wall had, Team USA a couple years ago, with his hair just completely unkept.
Yeah.
With like bags under his eyes. That was the beginning of the end for John Wall. He was like a homeless man out there.
Yeah, he did.
So now we turn our attention, like I said, to James Harden and Bradley Beal. See where they go from here. Add that in with Giannis, and those are the three quote-unquote stars that you're looking at to say, what's next for them? I don't think we'll have any other big trades.
Yeah, that's probably it for
at least till the beginning of the season, like till closer to the All-Star break.
Especially since they're already like doing the testing and stuff to get everybody in the training camp and stuff.
Do we make anything of them having 9% positive?
No. I'd say no, since they've left the bubble. Everybody's probably been across the country everywhere, and just now coming back. And it was 9%. I saw it was like 48 people is what I saw at one point.
Okay.
I guess is that 9%. I don't know. But I saw they had some tests, but I just feel like with the fact that they haven't been in the bubble the past month or two, and you know you're getting more teams than even were in the bubble. You're getting all these other teams, but you're adding back the other eight. Who knows where half these players have been most of the time, you know, when they're outside the bubble or whatever. So I don't think that's bad.
Okay.
Not to mention, it's just Thanksgiving last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could have been a lot of positive tests.
And we haven't heard any,
there.
Like, big names or anything. Been like, oh, wow, this guy got COVID or anything like that. So, I mean, it's just random people here and there. I don't think it should be anything to worry about. But I guess we'll find out more in the next couple weeks.
You think every NBA team's going to play all 72 games? There's no way, right? Because, I mean, they could easily cancel
games. I think
they
have a lot more wiggle room to reschedule games.
You think so?
So I think they'd be a lot less likely to cancel games. So I would say, yes, they all play 72 games.
Preseason in 8 days.
Man, that's crazy.
We should find out the Hawks versus opponent soon, Cameron, because they just announced the Knicks and like are playing the Pacers. So I guess they're getting ready to start leaking the first.
I would say Russell Westbrook to the Wizards. That's bad news for the Hawks. One less
playoff spot. Annoying to play.
He'll make them play hard in the regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
I mean, they were already the 9 seed last year. It's like they would have been quote unquote in the playoff game, play-in game.
Wall,
and next year, this upcoming season, they're expected to be 10-7 getting the playoff format. 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So really, just need to be a top 10 seed, and the Wizards will be there.
And that can't be hard in the East. I mean,
the Hawks will be there probably.
Yeah,
unless we get like the 4 seed. Anywhere from 7-4.
4 seed Hawks, yeah.
There is no way that the Hawks get a 4 seed. Come on. That's just wishful thinking.
I mean, there's a way.
That's just wishful thinking.
They have a top 5 offensive player in the league.
Oh, I'll board bet you that they're at least over a 7.
Hayden? We got to take that.
Yeah.
You want to root against the Hawks, Hayden? That's what you want to do?
Yeah.
You make me 26.
So do you like the 7-10 thing or no? Then, I mean, we haven't seen it obviously, but do you think that?
I thought last year's 8-9 with the Grizzlies and the Blazers was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Right?
I enjoyed that.
I liked it.
I think it'll be fun in the West because there's better teams. But, I mean, who's going to be the 10 seed in the East? The Bulls with Zach LaVine?
I think
LaVine?
This year the 10 seed will be okay.
Yeah, it won't be.
Better than past few years.
Probably.
Sure.
So they're going to tier. Yeah. I guess.
Well, they're also trying to, like, recoup some money.
That's true.
Because, like, they're missing, you know, 8 games apiece.
I guess they'll tier it kind of like the 8-9 game last year where they did the 8 seed just had to win once.
Yeah. I think what it'll be is, like, the 7 and 8 seed play each other. Whoever wins between the 7 and 8 seed advance. Then the 8 seed will play, I guess, the winner of the 9 and 10. And then if the 8 seed beats the 9 seed first, they'll get in. If not, they'll have to beat them twice, I think, is how they'll do it. That's been the thought process. 7-8 gets the first crack at it. And then if you lose, you get a second chance against another or lesser opponent
makes
if you're
sense.
The 8 seed.
I do like that. I do like it has a little bit of a college basketball feel where it's kind of like a one-and-done situation.
And
you know?
Like I said, the Grizzlies-Blazers game last year was pretty fun. The one and done format's good for playoffs. Mm-hmm. You don't really get that in the NBA,
yeah,
so that'll be fun. All right, let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I guess we got a little bit more Tennessee news yesterday. Hayden was talking about Chip Long, offensive analyst, getting off the boat.
Yeah, it's a sad day.
Tennessee's offense.
Big hit, huh?
Loses a big name there. He was a big name at one point. I remember I wanted Chip Long to be the offensive coordinator in 2015 before Mike DeBoer.
Well.
What do you mean, well?
We're thankful for his time here, I guess.
I wonder how he feels about his time here.
He really improved the offense. That's for sure.
I would like to know like what he was doing on the offense or what he says about Tennessee in an interview. David Ubbin always does those pieces on The Athletic when a player transfers,
yeah.
Like the exit interview. Can we get a head coach? Like, can we get a coach exit interview as well?
Please.
Like, ask Chip Long about what he thought Tennessee's offense did well. What did you do to put your staple on this offense? How did you impact this offense, Chip?
If he's smart, he'd say, I've recommended we handed it to Eric Gray every time.
I said, let's give Eric Gray the ball, and I really said, like, hey, are we sure we were doing everything we can to maximize the quarterback position? But, hey, I'm just an analyst. I don't get to make those big decisions like that.
I don't know. Sarah Fuller walked right in and made a speech in the locker room. I feel like he could have had a say.
That is true. That is true. So he went to where?
Tulane.
Tulane to be
Green
the
Wave.
OC?
Because Tulane's OC went to Southern Miss to be the head coach yesterday. The third or fourth one they've had this year. So I think it's actually their fourth.
What in the world?
What would you rather have?
They're hiring and firing down there.
What would you rather have, though?
Quick leash on their coaches.
We need to start doing that.
Would you rather have that one coach that you won't fire, or would you rather have three or four coaches?
Three or four.
You
go
know
through
it's
the
a,
whole process?
It's a good sign when people want to come hire your coaches. It's a good sign.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
When people want to come hire your guys, that's a good sign. Right?
Yeah, no,
yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Exactly.
It's an even better sign when they're not even really a coach. They're just an analyst.
Is it a good sign when they take it, though? Like, if you're Chip Long, like, is there not a scenario like where you are the guy that gets in over Jim Chaney next year? Because, I mean, like, let's just play this out for a second. Let's play this out.
Yep.
We think there's a what percent chance Jeremy Pruitt is back?
Oh, after last night, 70.
Yeah.
Also, after last night, raised yours up?
Yeah, for sure.
Why? Because people were mean to him on the phone, or?
Well, not just that, but I think what the stuff that Fulmer was saying just made me feel like that he's not going to
I mean, what's Fulmer
going to
say, though?
Well, that,
I don't,
that
I don't
is
look
true,
too far into that. Like,
but,
what's Fulmer going to say? Yeah, this guy sucks. Either he keeps it within 30 against Florida or firing his ass. Like, what's Fulmer supposed to say?
But is Fulmer on there every week, though? I haven't listened to Vol calls since
I was
like 8 years old.
I don't know if he has
but,
not either. I don't know if he has
but
not.
But like
also,
was,
like, he hasn't had coronavirus every week either.
Well,
so
that is true.
You could call and check in on him and be like, hey, how are you feeling, coach?
I just feel like that was planned.
It probably
him,
was.
For him to come out there
well,
and say that.
You know, it was even reported, you know, we talked about it a couple of days ago that you know, the VolQuest guys have made it seem like a vote of confidence was coming, so that might have been your vote of confidence. Like,
yeah.
You don't put out an official statement so that people don't have a chance to ratio your tweet.
Yeah.
And he did that same thing last year after we got beat by Georgia State and BYU. He gave it on VolQuest too.
Well.
The same kind of statement.
Okay.
So.
Which, I mean, I think it's a little bit different in year two after two games than it is in year three halfway through the year or whatever. But still, like, it could have been just a planned thing, like, hey, I'm going to give this guy a vote of confidence because people need to hear it. But if that's the only way they put it out, I don't know if that even counts. Because if you're listening to VolQuest, like, you are a diehard fan or you are just in love with the content. One of the two. Like, I haven't listened to VolQuest in, you know.
Yeah. 10 years.
Since I was a kid.
Yeah. But what I was saying, though, is I think it was planned because they haven't let a caller like the guy that went off on him, they haven't let anybody like that on all year.
Oh, so you think that was planned too?
I think that they probably have a lot of calls like that every week. They just don't let them through. And they probably let that one through so it's negative, so then they could have Fulmer come on. And plus they also had the kid that said that his favorite player was Garantano, and Pruitt liked that.
Pruitt said he agreed?
He was like, "That a boy." That's what he said.
That's the most damning phone call of
did
all
you
of them.
See that?
No, I didn't see it. I just told you I don't listen to ball calls. I
didn't listen to it either.
One go viral either. I just saw the Fulmer comment and of course the clip of that guy asking if he was going back to Alabama. Yeah, I didn't know some. Imagine I would. No offense if you're listening, but raise your children better.
Yep.
Raise your children better.
Well, it was an 8-year-old. So
that's what I'm saying. Raise your children better. No offense if that was your kid that said Garantano was his favorite player. I mean, no disrespect to your kid. I am only disrespecting your parenting skills. Can we make that distinction? I'm not making fun of the 8-year-old kid. It's not his fault. I am saying be a better sports father.
I'm intrigued how he came to that conclusion that that was his favorite player.
Yeah. Please also note I'm not saying be a better father. I'm not questioning your parenting skills. I said you're a sports father. Teach him which players are good and the ones you're supposed to root for. I grew up, you know who my favorite quarterback was? Steve McNair. Did he have some off-the-field issues? I don't know. I guess maybe. He got killed.
That happens.
I ain't looking for my moral ground, but it was a tough guy that made plays. Garantano, tough, doesn't make plays. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Maybe make your favorite player like Derrick Henry. Just like, watch the Titans, kids. If you're 8 years old, like, I'd imagine there's a lot of 8-year-olds growing up that like the Titans more than the Vols, right? I would hope at least.
One more recently.
I would hope at least. I'd hope like there's a whole lot of people in Knoxville, little kids running around that love the Titans more than the Vols. I hope. Otherwise, we're raising a bunch of dumb kids. We got to get to the point, man, where these people quit just giving Tennessee money. That's how we got in this mess, is the blind loyalty.
And that was the funny thing about that call, is the kid started off and said that he's been to every single game this year. That him and his dad have been to every single game this year. And then Kessling was like, "Oh, how old are you, Jimmy?" And he was like, "Oh, I'm 8. And then Pruitt asked him about his best player.
So that's what they're making Chris Winkie do to earn his contract?
Yeah.
Poses an 8-year-old calling in to pump up JG and talk about how much he loves the program. Yeah. That's how Chris Winkie's earned his check, huh? Disguise your voice, Chris.
My name is Christopher. I love Jack Antano. He's my favorite player. I've been to every game this year. I think the quarterback position is really tough and playing really well. GBO.
GBO.
BFL.
Just be a better sports father. Not questioning your actual parenting abilities. Don't get mad. I'm not making fun of your 8-year-old kid. I'm just saying you gotta raise a stronger sports fan, in my opinion. Am I out of bounds there?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
I feel like if you're a Tennessee fan and you're younger, you've had a hard time with the role model as a quarterback, to be honest.
For sure.
Tyler Bray.
For sure.
I mean, for me, it was Ainge, but.
I mean, for me it was McNair. Like, I mean, I was a little too young for Peyton. I mean, I liked Peyton, but once he left, he went to the Colts. Yeah. No thanks. I was really mad. I've told this story many times about Peyton choking against Memphis. Losing that game.
Ripping the jersey.
Ripping the jersey. I've talked about that.
But that jersey will go for a lot of money nowadays.
So then now I'm looking and I'm like, hey, who would have been my favorite player as a kid? I mean, I loved Al Wilson. But as far as quarterback goes, like, T, I guess. It's more of a Peerless Price guy myself. Peerless Price guy. I don't know. But like you're talking about this new generation. I mean, Juwan Jennings is probably their guy.
Or Dobbs. I feel like Dobbs is such a nice guy.
I was going to say, yeah. Dobbs was very lockable, too. Mm-hmm. He was very lockable.
Yep.
Now he couldn't throw the ball. But
I mean, that was 4 years ago. Five years ago, bro.
Yeah.
17, 18, 19, 20. 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's kids now that are like seven. They don't remember Josh Dobbs.
Uh-uh.
JG's the only quarterback they've ever seen. Him and Maurer. And Keller Christ. Have mercy. The segment is brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN. Go throw axes and be more accurate than Jarrett Garantano.
You can do the bow and arrow celebration after.
My favorite player is Jarrett Garantano.
That's pitiful, man. That's pitiful. Located minutes from downtown Knoxville, craftaxethrowing.com. Promo code FANRUN for 15% off. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on FANRUN Radio.
I was about to say.
I don't know how I felt about watching the trailer. The trailer made me uncomfortable for some reason.
Have you seen Jared or
podcast game? We're talking about the movie breaking news. HBO Max is getting all the Warner Brothers movies
next year. Release live.
But Jerry's room, like in his little hole, he's got like AirPods as speakers. Like they're like set to the wall. It's pretty funny. I thought it was funny.
It's going to be an interesting movie. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
I'm excited for it, John.
I can tell. Whenever we talk about
Kaden
movies,
Kaden has broken down the trailer.
Whenever we talk about movies, you barely speak, but you've broken down the trailer of the live action Tom and Jerry movie.
You know, I'm not a big movie guy, John. I'll be honest with you, but I like Tom and Jerry, so I might watch it.
That's cool.
The first Tom and Jerry movie got me in a lot of trouble when I was younger.
I didn't know they had another movie.
It wasn't live action. It was
still the cartoon.
It was a cartoon movie. Got me in a lot of trouble when I was younger because they have a nice song in there. And I remember always singing, and it was like, Coffee and Cream, Boy, What a Team. You know? I don't know how this happened. As I talk about it, it's embarrassing. But I was like six, keep in mind. But essentially, I was led down a dark path by my older brother who got me to call 911 and sing them that song, except change the lyrics of Coffee and Cream, Boy, What a Team, just to Coffee and Sex, Boy, What a Team. But I don't really know what I was thinking. It doesn't seem funny. It doesn't rhyme. I don't know exactly what was happening there. But I do remember calling and singing that to the 911 operator and at my uncle's house. I'm getting in a lot of trouble by my parents. A lot of trouble.
How did they find out?
Because 911 calls back after you call them. If you prank call 911, they'll call back to see, like, well, A, is it an emergency? And B, like, tell your kid to quit prank calling us.
Did you just say it and then just hang up?
Probably. Like, I sang them the song, but I never will forget it. I don't know why I did that. I would like to get to the bottom of why I thought that was funny. Because, I mean, I imagine someone else fed it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never drank coffee. I'd never had sex. I was 6 years old. But that's what I think of when I think about your Tom and Jerry movie, Hayden. Now, are you still excited for it? When you're watching, are you thinking about me?
I don't know.
Drinking
the song.
Coffee and having sex.
Can you sing the song for us? Just the original song, not the.
All
not
I
the
remember is
version.
Coffee and Cream, Boy, What a Team. You'll never find a something, something. No. We're two of a kind. Something like that. We're two of a kind.
Not ringing a bell.
Tom and Jerry, Two of a Kind song doesn't ring a bell to anybody. I mean, it's really obscure. I've never,
Well, I didn't even know they had a movie, so that's probably why I don't know it.
But how do you like Tom and Jerry so much, but you don't know they had cartoon
Are
movies?
Are you a poser?
No, I mean,
friends
I
to the end.
The movies,
we're friends
I didn't know
to the
like
end.
An actual movie.
Ain't we, my friend? There it is. We're friends to the end. Ain't we, my friend? We kind of blend together. Coffee and cream, boy, what a team. You'll never find two other guys compatible. Let's steak and fries, we're two of a kind. Much of a mind.
Hey, I'm pumped for this. Actually, this movie thing.
Have we? is that the last we're going to see of like movies being like released widely without being on a streaming platform?
It does worry
like
me.
Blockbusters?
For stuff like that. Like movie theaters, I think, should be really concerned about this because they do huge numbers on the streaming services, but, like, you know, there's nothing, nobody's actually really going to see them in theaters. Mm-hmm. I think they get really concerned.
Are they doing these new releases, Cam? Or are they, like, raising the price like they did for Mulan? Mulan's like $30,
no,
right?
No, these are included. If it's the way that Wonder Woman is, it's included if you're paying
for
HBO Max.
So you just buy HBO Max and then you get the new release there?
So what I saw is they're doing this basically like they're going to leave it on.
Do you have anything besides HBO Max?
Yeah, really? What I saw is they're leaving it on the streaming service for 31 days, and then they're going to let it play out in theaters for the remainder of the time until it's, you know, available for DVD release. Because there's like a certain amount of time it's supposed to be in theaters before you can start selling DVDs and stuff. So they're going to give you 31 days on the service, so like a month on the service. And besides that, it will still be in theaters, and then it will hit the DVDs and stuff like that.
But there's no over-the-top pricing?
It wasn't with Wonder Woman, so I'm assuming it's the same model.
Are you sure it's not with Wonder Woman? Because Wonder Woman hasn't came out yet, has it?
No, it comes out on Christmas. But no, that was the big interesting thing about that was, like, yeah, they were like, if you have HBO Max, you get it for free.
Which, I mean, HBO Max got a lot of money poured into, and they want to get in the game and compete with Netflix. I mean, like, this is a good way to...
Yeah.
I mean, Netflix doesn't have blockbusters. I mean, what's the best Netflix original movie? Like, what's the best... Because, like, I mean, Netflix... I mean, it got The Irishman, I guess. Like, that was, like, a big movie that was, like, also kind of in theaters that had De Niro and Pesci and Pacino. But, like, I don't think that would be a blockbuster if it was released just in theaters.
Yeah, I think they've just been more... You know, better with the series.
Yeah, it seems they do much better on TV shows than they do movies.
They had that Trial of the Chicago 7 movie. I think did decent, but I don't know if that would have been.
They had that. Huge. They had the Spike Lee movie.
Yeah.
The seven was it the Bloods? The what was it called? You know, another one with
I know which
Vietnam.
One you're talking about.
Something Bloods, Five Bloods of something. I don't know.
But yeah, no, they haven't really had like huge. Movies, I guess.
They had that new one with the Devil Way Down or something like that.
Devil All the Time.
With
that probably would have done decent numbers at theaters, I feel like, just because of the
Pattinson
cast.
And the guy from Spider-Man,
Holland,
right?
Yeah.
It is Defy Bloods.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Netflix, I think, it kind of has their niche with just the series at this point.
Right, but I mean, if HBO can do the movies and then also have the series on there, because they also have some series, too. Like, I was listening, they have the girl from... Big Bang Theory. What's her name?
Kaylee. Is that the girl? It's a.
Yeah, something like Coco or something
like
that.
Yeah, someone with a C.
Coco. I don't know how you say her name.
Yeah,
the blonde-headed girl from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Like, she has a series on HBO Max right now where she's like a flight attendant. And there's like a murder or something on there, and like she has to like solve a crime or something. It's like a dark comedy. But, like, they do the series game too. So, like, it makes sense from HBO's perspective. They have a lot of money.
Yeah, their site's loaded, too. Like, I don't know if you've looked at HBO Max, but they have tons of stuff.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of, like, old shows. They got, you know, all these new movies. They got all the DC stuff.
Have they had the Friends reunion on there yet? I know they did the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion was on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. I know that that's also where the Saved by the Bell reboot is, right? Is it Saved by the Bell on the HBO Max as well?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I'm pretty sure they were getting the Friends reunion, too.
Yeah, that would make
sense. So they're throwing a bunch of money at the streaming services, but when you look at how much money Netflix makes, like, it makes sense to want to be in the streaming game.
Yeah. And, I think this is just huge that, like, they were able to lock this down. And I don't know if they had to come to an agreement with movie theaters, but I feel like a movie theater's kind of hands were tied in this situation.
I think the movie theater has no say. I think it's all about the movie studios.
Okay. I'm about to say, like, even worst case, I feel like the movie theaters kind of have their hands tied. They're like, well, we have to show something.
Well, you had, was it Regal? It was somebody that, it might have been Regal and AMC, that basically said we're not going to carry any Warner Brothers movies. Or whatever,
whatever
studios
fight.
It was, they're like, hey, fine, that's fine, but we're not ever going to carry
movies
again.
I want
to
say it was the Blumhouse ones.
Okay.
With
After the Invisible Man and all that?
Yeah, like, because they were trying to just get those straight to streaming services so quick. And I think they ended up coming to an agreement.
I don't think that was it, because it was about Trolls, is what it was. Trolls was the movie.
Oh, Universal then.
Yeah, Trolls World Tour or whatever. That was the movie where they were like, hey, we're releasing this just video, and the movie theaters that hadn't all the way closed down were like, well, fine, then we're not ever showing your movies again.
Yeah, I think that, that's...
And they were trying to, like, band together... And, like, all the theaters are like, hey, we have to stay together. And, like, we can't, like, sell the other one out because then all these other studios are going to do this to us, too. So that is a pretty significant story, just in the sense of we might lose theaters the way we know them coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah, this thing is loaded. This site is loaded there.
Now, I think movie theaters will still always have a place, but A, they might be more expensive because they're going to try to target people that just love movies.
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to get bought up by like Amazon's and Disney's. And
they'll get bought by HBO Max.
Yeah, I mean, they'll start showing their movies in their own theaters.
It'll probably be more like Amazon, like you said. And then when Amazon also gets in the NFL game and has a live sporting events, you can go watch their sporting events there.
And you know Disney's got the money, and they got the Star Wars through Marvel and all that, so they could really hold down some theaters.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty soon it's going to be Amazon, Disney. You might have a Netflix.
Running the
Apple.
World.
Apple.
Yeah, Apple may get one in.
And
which one would have the nicest theater?
I mean, Amazon would probably do something pretty crazy with it that you wouldn't want to be a part of.
Probably.
I could see Bezos seems like the weirdest of all of them.
Yeah. Disney probably does a really nice one.
Disney will probably just want to do like most of the kid stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. That is a pretty big story, though.
How much is HBO Max a month?
I don't know.
I'm
is it around
sure.
10
I'm
like all the other ones?
I would say it's probably closer to 15.
Okay.
I mean, Netflix is 17. So
Netflix is 17 now?
Well, the version I have is 17. I don't know.
It's it's been increasing like every year.
Alex says Saved by the Bell reboot is Peacock. Okay. So NBC.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes okay. That
the Friends reboot is HBO Max, though.
Okay.
They just had to delay it, is what I read a couple of
times. And they are the ones that had the Fresh Prince one as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Isn't Peacock free?
Peacock has a free version and a paid version.
Oh, okay.
I don't know which is which. I know I had to pay for it, like $5 to watch the Premier League games I was trying to watch. Like, they were putting their best Premier League games on there. And as someone with a gambling problem, I was like, I need to watch Liverpool, Man City, so I got to pay for it.
Yeah, HBO Max is $14.99.
Yeah.
You could like add it onto your Hulu for $14.99.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a pretty big deal. I like movie theaters, so
I'd pay $14.99 a month to watch like all these movies.
I will be surprised if they're still doing that in 2021.
Yeah.
Like where it's just included in like the thing, like you're not paying anything over the top. I would be surprised if that was the case. Wonder Woman makes sense because it's the first time they've done it. And it's Christmas. Everyone's going to be at home. You sign up, you download the app, you start scrolling around, like, oh, this is a great app, I love this app, I'm going to keep paying for it. But I would be surprised if, like, these other blockbusters like Dune hits, and it's just your HBO fee is enough.
Yeah,
that seems like it would be a disaster for the movie studios.
Yeah, because these were supposed to be some big-time movies.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.